Will you open your Bibles with me to John's Gospel, the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. We'll read the first 30 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and they said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So far the reading of God's Word. Based on this and other passages of God's Word, we have now Lord's Day 25. It's entitled, Of the Sacraments, And we have seven Lord's Days that are going to be dealing with that. Question 65. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? Answer, from the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. Question 66, what are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals, appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and eternal life for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Question 67. Are both the word and the sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they might direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground for our salvation? Answer, yes. Indeed, for the Holy Spirit teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. Question 68, how many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Answer, two, namely Holy Baptism and Holy Supper. Notice, beloved, with me, that first question, 65, since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only. In other words, this Lord's Day follows upon Lord's Days 23 and 24. They're really tied together. And what is the subject? We are justified by faith alone. Lord's Day 24, not works, but we're not profane or careless either. And now again, we come back to, where does this faith come from? This faith that enables us to believe that indeed our salvation depends upon not our works, but upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. This Lord's Day and the next six Lord's Days all fall under the heading the sacraments. But that really doesn't cover all the material. It's true that the sacraments received the lion's share in these Lord's Days. That is, we're going to have six different Lord's Days on the two sacraments. And the bulk of that material deals with the sacrifices because that was the question at the time. Over against the Anabaptists, we're only baptized one time, not a second time, because there's only one entrance into the covenant. And what is the Lord's Day and why do we supervise the table so carefully? We have there the spiritual presence of Christ Jesus as he nourishes our souls, those of us who are in the covenant. Beautiful. Sad to say, when we look at the means of grace, though, preaching, sadly, is not given the proper place or attention here in the catechism. It's only mentioned two times in this Lord's Day. And that is a puzzle, and this is a human document, and so there can be weaknesses in it. It is surprising because it was the preaching also that was rediscovered again, like a man like Martin Luther and later on John Calvin. Over against the tiny little homilies that were taking place in the church at that age, and the sacraments got all the attention, the importance is of the preaching of the word. That is primary and added to the preaching. As the preaching comes to our ears, the sacraments come to our eyes. It's the one gospel of Jesus Christ crucified for our sins. But the preaching and the sacraments cannot do anything of themselves. That is, there is no grace in the sacraments or in the preaching itself. It is the Holy Spirit, by applying those things in our hearts, make the preaching and make the sacraments instruments or tools or means of salvation, grace. So that brings this question, and that's what ties it into Lord's Day 23 and 24, how important faith is. By faith, all the treasures of salvation are opened up to us. But if that's true, the important question is, whence then does this faith proceed from? Where does it come from? What is its ultimate source? We read in Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." So God alone is the source of our faith. There are only two possible answers for the source of faith. It is either God and God alone, or it is man. God or man. And this Lord's Day is very important then. The answer that we give to this, where does this faith come from? If it's from ourselves, then we can give ourselves thanks for having it. Then we'll go around and we'll say, I decided to follow Jesus. But if faith comes from God, then we thank God for giving it to us. And then we pray, like we did this morning, that God will give it to our children also in the line of our generations. And we pray that God will increase that faith in us. We'll say with that man to Jesus, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." The Bible so clearly teaches that saving faith is a special gift of God, given only to the elect. We read in Titus 1, verse 1, "Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness." It is only by the Holy Spirit that we are able to hear the voice of Jesus Christ in the preaching of the gospel. And it's only by the Holy Spirit that we are able to see with our eyes the spiritual truth of Christ crucified for us. So, the source of our faith is God alone. That essential truth is opposed by many, many errors. There are those who say that we are the originators and the workers of faith. In other words, our faith is our willingness to take what God offers. Others will say, well, we cooperate with God. That is, God and us are the originator of our faith. There are still others that say God gives the ability to all people to believe, but now it's up to man to do it. Again, it said, God gives us the beginning, but it's up to man to continue in faith. Or still others, since faith is commanded, it is said faith must be a work of man. Is it a work of man? Can we give faith to one another? Can the pastor or can the elders work faith in a person? Can they convert them? Can parents convert their children? And the answer is, obviously not. There are those that grow up in our homes, that grow up in the church. They hear the truths of the gospel year after year after year. It is God who must apply it to the heart. Only He can do it. And that's important for a pastor or for an elder to remember in their work. They can only try to feed the sheep and the lambs. They can't make them eat. Parents cannot make their children believers. And when one of them fall away, they cannot beat themselves to death and ask, what did I do wrong? God in His own time works faith in all the hearts of His children. And how does God work that faith in your, in my heart? And the answer is, the Holy Spirit is the efficient cause. It is the Holy Spirit that works that faith in our heart in regeneration, planting that seed there. We read of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verses 13 and 15, when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit that He's going to pour out on the church. And Jesus says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you in all the truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Do you see the place of the Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ in His resurrection says, I'm going to be leaving you. The disciples are sad to hear it. He says, it's for your good, because unless I ascend up unto the Father, I will not be sending you my Spirit. That is the Comforter. But it is the Comforter that will show you all things. All these precious truths that Jesus had been teaching His disciples for 3 years. As we read in our chapter tonight, the disciples and the followers of Jesus didn't understand His parables about how He is the door to the sheep and how He is the good shepherd that's going to lay down His life. It is the Holy Spirit that works faith inside of God's people so that they may understand God's Word and are drawn to Christ Jesus. Faith is that bond to Christ Jesus. In regeneration, that seed of faith is planted there in the heart. And later on, by the preaching and the sacraments, that faith is strengthened and is increased. Implanting that faith in our hearts in regeneration, there is that bond to Christ Jesus. We are one with Christ. But the Holy Spirit brings that seed to conscious activity so that when we hear the gospel, we hear Christ's voice, and the sheep and the lambs follow Him. They know Him. They love Him. So notice with me, the Holy Spirit is the efficient cause. How beautifully that's put forward in this Lord's Day. Since we're made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith, only whence doth this faith proceed? From the Holy Spirit, who works faith in the heart. So the Holy Spirit plants that faith in our hearts in regeneration. That is that living bond that we have with Christ. He is the vine, we are the branches. The Holy Spirit then works in that child, in that individual, bringing that faith into conscious activity. And we hear our little children singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Isn't that what makes going to Sunday school programs or what goes or the school programs in our schools so wonderful? To hear our covenant youth coming to conscious expression of Christ Jesus and what he means for us. Those who otherwise would remain in unbelief receive Christ Jesus by faith. And then we realize the reality that we continue to need that work in the Holy Spirit in our lives because our faith is so dim. We are so weak in faith. Help thou my unbelief. We are weak, and therefore we need to be strengthened by that word of God, don't we? Week by week, as we heard this morning, whether it as soldiers of the cross or as pilgrims on our wearisome way, every week and every day we need to be strengthened by the Spirit through God's Word. There's important implications if faith is worked by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit through means. For every minister, it means that before he makes his sermon, he has to reflect on this short statement there in question and answer 65. The Holy Spirit produces faith by the preaching of the Word. So the preacher's primary concern may not be, will the people like my sermon today? But he needs to be asking, will God by his Spirit cause God's people by the preaching of the word to be turned away from the paths of sin? And by the preached word, will he cause his children, young and old, to be brought faith? How important then is the word of God, whether it be in the preaching of the word on Sundays, or whether it be as we study God's Word together in our Bible societies and our children as they receive catechism instruction, and how important that the church is urgent in missions. How will they hear without a preacher? What is the source of faith? Not ourselves. God alone, by His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of truth, works that faith in you and me and all the elect by means. Now, before I go on to those means, notice with me, second of all, in your outlines, the source of faith is dependent upon election. We can ask the question here, why does God work faith in some and not in others? We see that in families. Some, hopefully most, maybe all of the children believe, but there are those who do not believe and walk in unbelief and rebellion. In the church, why is it that some are faithful in the church from birth to death, and others leave the church and say, we don't need her, we don't want it. Who even dare to say you're legalistic as church in insisting that people come to worship twice on Sunday. You're legalistic in insisting that the children are in catechism. No. Because it pleases God by His Holy Spirit to work and to strengthen faith in God's children, young and old, through the means of grace. Why does God give faith to some and not to others in missions? When I was a home missionary, we had several different contexts, but nothing worked out for a stable beginning of a church in those areas. Why that over here in the States, whereas over in the Philippines, they couldn't get enough of God's Word, couldn't get enough of reading the standard bearer, couldn't get enough of asking questions about the sermons. Yes, even waking me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, we're discussing your sermon, what did you mean? Why is the difference? And it is the work of the Holy Spirit, which is given to God's elect alone. That Spirit does not work. The ability to believe does not exist in man himself. Faith depends clearly and solely upon God's decree. After one of Jesus' parables, many are called, but few are chosen. The gospel goes forth, and that gospel goes out as a saving savor to God's elect people. That gospel goes out and draws irresistibly those elect to Christ Jesus. That is the plain teaching of Scripture. Acts chapter 16, verse 48. The Jews there in Antioch were angry when the Apostle Paul also spoke to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Do you see what was taking place there in Antioch of Pisidia? Paul and Silas are there together. Paul and Barnabas are there on their first missionary journey. Those who were angry rebelled against the word, and those from the Gentiles eagerly embraced it. Why? Because as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Or again, John chapter 10, verse 26, which we read tonight. It is the sheep who hear his voice. They know his voice. And there was division at that time. And Jesus said, I told you, and you believed not that I was the Christ. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not. Why? Because ye are not of my sheep. As I said of you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Where does faith proceed from? From the Holy Spirit worked in the hearts and lives of those whom God has chosen from eternity and has given unto Jesus Christ and now called to him. There's a beautiful phrase that I'd like to read. I'm afraid many times we leave some of our extra confessions of faith unread. I'd like to read from the Canons of Dort, the first head of doctrine. Article 6, that some receive the great gift of faith from God and others do not receive it, proceeds from God's eternal decree. For from Acts 15, verse 18, for known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Ephesians 1, verse 11, who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. According which decree he graciously softens the heart of the elect, however obstinate, and inclines them to believe, while he leaves the non-elect in his just judgment to their own wickedness and obduracy. And herein is especially displayed the profound, the merciful, and at the same time the righteous discrimination between men equally involved in ruin, or that decree of election and reprobation revealed in the Word of God, which, though men of perverse, impure, unstable minds wrest their own destruction, yet to holy and pious souls afford unspeakable consolation. Think a moment of it. How is it that you know Jesus Christ? How is it that you are able to distinguish whether it is the voice of Jesus that comes through your pastor or through your elders or through the Sunday school teachers or through your parents? It's not left up to you. It is God in his electing grace, having chosen you, he now sends the Spirit of Christ into your hearts, makes it soft, so that you embrace Christ with heart and mind and heart and soul. What is the practical application of that? That it is by the doctrine of election, the Spirit works faith in God's elect. That truth of election is the heart of the gospel. Maybe even more basic than the doctrine of justification by faith alone. We read, don't we, in John 10, verse 29, my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than them all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. It's all of grace. And on account of that truth, that is by grace, no boasting in us. We're not going to sing, I decided to follow Jesus. I gave my heart to Jesus. No, all boasting is cut out. Thanks goes to God. Grace, grace alone, we are saved. Well, that brings me to my third point, which will probably be my longest point, unlike this morning. How does God now, by his Spirit, work and strengthen that faith in your and my heart? And we have there the teaching of the means of grace in questions 66, 67, 68. And it is in question 65 that we hear the first means or the first tool from the Holy Ghost who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the word of gospel, and then confirms it by the use of the sacraments. By the preaching of the gospel. That is how men and how women come to hear Christ Jesus. That's how they know Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. Then how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The preaching of the gospel, that's called good news, the gospel. That is how we come to hear Christ Jesus himself. That is a means of grace. And what are the means of grace? What do we mean with that term? They are means, they are tools which the Holy Spirit employs to apply the salvation merited by Jesus Christ, to apply it to the regenerated elect people of God. It is that Holy Spirit who takes that preaching that causes them to enter into the fold and to be under the Good Shepherd Christ Jesus. They are part of his church. The preaching of the word. It is by God's grace that is within us that we desire the pure milk of God's word. We want to hear. We want to hear the gospel. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, the first couple of verses. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies, all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that you may grow thereby. What a picture God's Word has there. That little infant, soon out of the womb, they're already searching with its mouth, looking for the breast of its mother so that it may start sucking in that nourishment. God, by his Holy Spirit, works faith in us, and that faith is demonstrated because we hunger now to hear God's word. Not only initially, but we want to hear that sincere milk of God's word over and over, because the temptations that bombard us every day, because of the sin within us, we want to be nourished with Christ Jesus. We want to be strengthened by him as his children. Again, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. There the apostle is talking about himself and his co-laborers. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a savor, a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. What is the preaching of the word of the Apostle Paul there? It's preaching Christ Jesus, and the apostle says that is a sweet savor. It's beautiful in God's nostrils. That preaching of Christ and Christ alone is sweet to God as it comes to those who believe and they have life. But that word of God, the preaching, is also sweet to God even as it comes to the unbelievers who remain in disobedience and rebellion. It's a savor of death unto death. Those two reactions, there is only those two reactions. There's no neutral ground. When the word is brought sharply and clearly, either you love the Christ that is set before you, or you turn from him in boredom and rebellion and disobedience. But always, The preaching of Christ Jesus is a sweet savor of Christ to God. The preaching of the Word. And it's because it's God's Spirit that works that in the hearts, applying it to God's people, that we are able to believe. That work of the Spirit is necessary. A. Tozer, he wrote an essay, Bible Taught or Spirit Taught. And he says, it's possible to be instructed in the rudiments of the faith and still have no understanding of the whole thing. And now I quote him. It is possible to go on to become an expert in Bible doctrine and not have spiritual illumination, with the result that a veil remains over the mind, preventing it from apprehending the truth in its spiritual essence. Recently in our Bible study, as we were looking at the miracle of the raising of Lazarus, Martha comes with correct biblical doctrine. Yes, I know. I know that when we die, there is the resurrection of the dead in the last day. Correct biblical doctrine. But what does Jesus say to her? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you see the difference between just knowing biblical doctrine or having the Spirit illumining our mind and hiding that seed of God's Word in our hearts so that we have that personal relationship to Jesus Christ? He is my Savior. He is my Lord. I love Him with my whole life, and I want to live for Him. The Spirit does that, not with some kind of feelings that we have in our life, but there is a being brought by the gospel into an intimate fellowship with God in Christ Jesus. We experience that faith deep down in the depths of our heart, as the canons said. He softens these hard hearts, no matter how obdurate they are, so that Christ reigns there. Oh, on account of that, marvelous things happen through the preaching of the gospel. God's children coming to a firm faith in Christ Jesus, drawn closer and closer and closer to Him in their walk through their life, and finally, we dwell with Him forever. The preaching of the gospel, primary. But we hear that gospel with our ears. Sometimes the pastor might speak so fast, you say, now what did he say again? Or the teacher might speak quickly. So the teacher uses the whiteboard also to put notes up there so that with the eyes they can see the same thing that they hear with their ears. And beloved, that is exactly the purpose of these sacraments. You can have the Word alone, but for our benefit, God in Christ Jesus instituted two sacraments. It's nothing new. But portrayed to our eyes is the same gospel that we hear with our ear. Jesus Christ crucified for His people. There is forgiveness of their sins. And in baptism, then we see that truth as the water is dripped or sprinkled or put upon the baby's head. Yes, so the blood of Jesus Christ washes all my sins away. And as we come to the Lord's table, we see with our eyes, just as this body, this physical body, needs nourishment every day, I need to be nourished with the host of the Lord's table, Christ Jesus, he gives himself to me. Those sacraments are signs and seals. That is, they are pictures for us of the gospel that we hear, but it's also a seal. As we heard this morning, it is not a seal of the child, that the child is for sure going to be saved, no. But it is a seal of God's promise that God will continue his covenant in the line of our generations, and that God, Christ Jesus, will nourish us unto life eternal. God strengthens us through those sacraments. And in those, in the word then, and in the sacraments, we hear Christ. We are saved by Christ alone. And that means that as families in the church, and as individuals in the church, we're going to value those instruments highly. That means that on Saturday night, we're going to prepare ourselves for worship tomorrow. That means by getting in bed in time so that during the whole worship service, you're not yawning and fighting the sleepiness. It means that Sunday morning that you're going to be praying, fathers and mothers, you're going to be praying with your children, Lord, bless the pastor. Bless the word that he brings. Bless us that we may be attentive, receptive to the word. As much as we love faith in Christ Jesus, we will love the preaching of the word as it's pictured and sealed in the sacraments. It means that all of us will give ourselves to the use of these means, being diligent. Someone will say, you're legalistic in demanding that God's people come twice to the Lord's house on Sunday. Where does the Bible say I got to come twice? Well, we do read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, these words. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. It's getting darker and darker here in the world. Sin is swirling around us, and how easily we are susceptible to it. And as that day approaches, then, not neglecting the means of grace, but eagerly desiring, thankful, that we are be able to begin the day in corporate worship and end it in corporate worship. And then we're going to give the thanks all to God alone. God cares enough for us that he has the institution given to the church to preach the gospel. And through that preaching and through the sacraments, God, who has chosen me by his Spirit, draws me irresistibly, holds me fast to him, and preserves us in faith. The means of grace. It's not the church's idea, but it's God's gift for your and my salvation. Amen. Oh, Father in heaven, the preaching and the sacraments are the means whereby the Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus Christ, where we hear his voice. Teach us, O Lord, then, the implication. We are obliged to use these means. We use them in obedience to Jesus Christ, who calls us to hear his word. We use them also for the maintenance of our spiritual life. Lord, we do not want to be spiritually weak. We do not want to see our children fall away in apostasy. We pray, Lord, by thy word and by the sacraments, may the Holy Spirit draw us to Christ Jesus so that we as believers may live out of Christ. We eat and we drink him in his word by faith. Amen.